Set my soul afire, Lord, with the truth about my salvation. You and I have a problem as human beings. You and I have major problems, and we have lesser problems. Now, the lesser problems, when we look at them, we look at as, well, the lesser problems are those problems that happen to someone else and I don't have to deal with it. The human race, the human condition gets and becomes so vile. We become so self-centered. We become so truly egotistical. And it's all about us. Do you know that the whole ministry of Jesus Christ was about everyone and anyone except for himself? Do you know that as he was feeling your pain, do you realize that that pain he was feeling, which belonged to you, that pain was the ugly truth about who we are? All of us sort of shy away from the truth. Oh, come on, folks, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You want somebody to flatter you, not tell you the truth. Hey, preacher, you're getting fat. And the preacher will say, I already got that way. I'm going the other way now. But we don't like the truth. We really don't. Do you know why? It's ugly. It's stained. Well, good gracious, we can't even get our pictures made without telling them to touch us up. Make us look better than we are, please. Is there anything you can do that makes me look like I want to look? God says, I want you to understand something. And that understanding of something happens to be about your salvation. The truth about our salvation is anything but hurt, pain. The truth is ugly. The truth in our mind as human beings is an ugly truth. And God said, I want you to look at the truth in your life. I'm going to send the truth. And as I come down as my son, God incarnate, I'm going to show you exactly the total truth of your way to my heart. And the total truth of your only hope for salvation and entering through the gate. God says it's an ugly truth. Do you realize, folks, that the truth for Jesus, for he wanted us to see, was torturous. Ugly. Torturous. Horrible. Even to the point that he had been so beaten, he did not look like a human being on the cross. Did not look like one that anyone would want to follow, or that anyone would want to have in their heart. Didn't even look human. Pure bloody. Do you know your pastor is against censorship for many, many different reasons? Many different reasons. People say, well, you ought to get on board. We've got to censor this. No. Because if I fall into that censorship mentality, the first book that'll be censored will be the Bible. There is not a more bloody book ever written than the Holy Bible. Full of blood. Full of hurt. Full of pain. Full of deceit. And God says, I'm going to set your soul afire with the truth. For until you know the truth about your salvation, you refuse to accept that salvation as truth. I'm saved. That I am. I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. I'm heaven born. That I am. Already know it. Yes, I do. But God said, pay attention. Mark 14:36. This is Jesus speaking. Now, I picked Mark on Jesus' cry on that day in the Garden of Gethsemane before his death, before the trials. And you will see Father many, many times when Jesus is calling on his name. But here I want you to notice something. Mark 14, verse 36. The beginning with Abba, Father. The Hebrew Abba means daddy. Daddy, that would be our term for daddy. Abba. Abba, daddy, Father. He said, Jesus, now listen to it. Everything is possible for you. And now notice how he says this. Take this cup from me. He's letting you and me know. He's letting us understand that God loves us so much that he refused to take the cup that Jesus had chosen to drink. He refused to take it away from his son. If you see your child thirsty, would you dare not give them a drink? If you see your child in trouble, would you dare not take on the whole world or die trying to protect that child? And yet, here's what Jesus says. Yet, not my will, but what you will. Jesus, 100% human, 100% God. Your sin and my sin had to be conquered through the totality of sinlessness in the human condition. And only Jesus could do it. But he saw the horrors that awaited him. He knew what was coming. He knew who he was. He knew all he had to say was, Daddy, Abba, deliver me. And God's word says that God would have sent legions of angels. It only takes one to wipe out the whole earth. God watched him. Oh, I can picture. You know how we scroll names? Here during special days, Memorial Day and Veterans Day, we scroll names. Can't you imagine the scroll inside the mind of Jesus? Can you not picture your name there? Your name. Individually. And Jesus saying, look, now we have to do our individual responsibility. So I need you as an individual to be a part of my body, because I have come to bring life through my death. I will love you when you say yes to me. I will accept you. I will turn no one away who calls on my name. And he says, now understand this. I will die a torturous, bloody death for you individually. Do you know that the church is made up, Jesus' church is made up of individual personalities, just like God wanted to put in his body of believers? He said, I've chosen you. I died for you. Well, the truth about our salvation is this. It's torturous and bloody on Jesus. And then he looks at us and says, whosoever will, won't you come? I'll give you the freedom of mind. I'll give a truth within you. I'll burn my word right into your spirit, and you will know that I am the Lord and I love you. Yet we have whole societies, whole nations that back away and reject the love of Almighty God. We watch as our loved ones die from every type of different disease. We watch governments through their own personal greed turn their back on the average person, whatever that means. And God said, there's none of you average. Do you know, he said, every one of you are important to me. My son died for you. Now you have become my son. You've become my daughter. Through what my son did. Shout it from the rooftops. Pay attention to the voice of Almighty God. Because the truth is a one name truth, and that name is Jesus. There's not any other way. I don't care how smart you think you're going to get, or how much scripture you think you can memorize. You can memorize the whole Bible. Satan did. No big deal. What do you do with it? God says, I give you freedom. Well, the Hebrew nation didn't want it out of Egypt, remember? Moses had more trouble dodging the rocks and dodging being killed by the Hebrew people than he did with any of the other enemies of God. It was from within. Churches collapse from within. Oh, hell can't touch God's family unless God's family welcomes hell in. Acts 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That's the truth of our salvation. That's the truth of the salvation of the world. One name. That name is Jesus. It's not Mohammed. It's not Buddha. It's not Hare Krishna. It's not any of all these people that say, trust me. I trust Jesus Christ. And I know that that name is the name that is the pass to heaven. I just said it. Now, Lord, remember, you call me to preach and I preach, Lord. You call me as a chaplain and I chaplained. Lord, no, that's not my way to heaven. Lord, I plead the blood, the ugly truth of my salvation. Is that you had to stand back and watch your only begotten son be beaten so horribly, it didn't look human, and you did it for me. But Lord, I don't really want to say anything because I don't want to rock any boats. I've told you over the years, folks, you better sink them. Don't just rock them. If Jesus ain't in the boat, get out. If Jesus is in the boat, stay in. Jesus tells you to walk on water, trust him. You got it? That's the word of Almighty God. And that word is truth. And the name Jesus is truth. The truth is that that name, Jesus, is the gate. Remember, everybody talking about St. Peter at the Golden Gate? I didn't hate to make him wait. I have no idea where Peter is. I'm talking about in heaven. Whether he's standing at the gate or not. But I know who the gate is. I want you to look at that slide up there on the screen. You see it? You see the door there? That's the sheep pen. That's where the flocks would be gathered outside in the field. Where's the door? The door's the shepherd. The shepherds of the flock were the doors. They sat in that open space. They were the door. If any wild animal was going to attack the flock, they had to get through the shepherd. Same way, Jesus wants us to understand this name. You know my name? Where there's no other name under heaven given by which you must be saved. Jesus, my son, happens to be the gate. I was looking for something pearly. They pearly gates. We don't have any idea of the greatness and the beauty of heaven. Because words cannot express it. But I do know this about the teaching of God's word. Jesus is the gate. Jesus knows my name. Woo! He knows my name. He's forgiven me. He's already forgiven for stuff I don't even know I'm going to do yet. You know why? It's called love. True love. The truth of my salvation is that name Jesus, that truth, that name is the gate that I will enter through. John 10 verse 1. And this is going on right now in our generation. Has been going on for years. John 10 verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, any other name, is a thief and a robber. Now when Jesus, God incarnate, says, anyone who attempts to lure you by a different name, anyone who tells you a different story, I want you to know it's a lie. And I want you to know that they might climb in over those stone walls, which we'd call a church. Folks, our churches are full of people who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they want to go through formalism. One thing that you would pay attention to with Jesus, he'd rather be out in the ditches of life with the lepers than in the temple with the religious leaders. Religious leaders are those who lead in religion. Christianity focuses on those individuals who have a personal relationship with Christ. Christianity is a relationship. I don't care what the world calls it. It's a relationship. The world might laugh, and they do, at those of us who speak about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Actually, they're telling us we're crazy. You know, you just don't quite measure up. And here's what I would say. You're absolutely right. That's why Jesus took the measurements for me. I plead the blood. One of these days, every one of us are going to separate from this body. You got me? Or let me put it in secular terms. Every one of us is going to die and rot in a grave, the body. Just so happens this body is only the earth suit, the vehicle for me to travel around in on earth. The real me, the real you on the inside, you're spiritual. You're a spiritual being who has a body on earth. And God said, I'll give you a glorified body. Check out my son. His son came back from the grave, walked around, walked through doors. Did you see my son and his glorified body? You got one a-coming. Woo! You're coming in my presence. But you're coming in my presence because of what my son did for you and for all humanity when he went to that cross and you dared disrespect such loving salvation because you cannot fathom how God would come as man. You can't fathom how God the Father would stand back and see God looked upon his only begotten son going through that torture, the hurt, the pain. Jesus would say throughout his ministry, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. I can only imagine those names scrolling in the mind of Christ. Those who have ever been born and those who will ever be born, yet to be on earth. Whosoever will, let him come. For I died for those who believe. And I died for them when they didn't believe. Jesus says, Larry, you're horrible. I love you. Do you agree with everything your children do? Do your children agree with everything you do? Listen to me, folks. Without that personal relationship with Christ, that name, Jesus, without that name, I will not enter heaven. No one will. God says, here, I give you my son. Oh, I give you my son so you can be saved. And I give you my son while you're beating on him. Can you imagine what would have happened had God not withheld his judgment? Well, we wouldn't be around. I guarantee you none there would have been around. But you know what his son said? Taking that last breath, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And Jesus never prayed a prayer that God didn't answer. Listen, folks, the truth is God is spirit. Catch this. God is spirit and must be worshiped in and through the truth. Or wasn't it Jesus who happens to be the truth? Did not Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? No one can go to the Father except through me. So therefore we know God is spirit. You and I are spirit. We're spirit. And God says you'll worship me in spirit. But you got to worship me with spirit and truth. I cannot worship God without in Jesus' name. You got it? Jesus is the gate. John 4, verses 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come. Now, I want you to listen to that. Jesus is speaking here. Do you know that Jesus is referring back not only to Isaiah, but to Jeremiah? And they're saying the time is coming when the law will be fulfilled in our Savior, in the Messiah. All will be made new. We call it the New Testament. And they pointed to that day, and Jesus is standing there, and he is saying, yet a time is coming and has now come. Now listen, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. It's not formality. It's not tradition. Well, you know, we got to ring the bell two or three. We got to do this, have to do that. That's fine. You ring the bells. You do anything else that you think that you want to do. But before you can get right down to worship, you need to understand something. It's a personal worship. No formality. You can't see my spirit. I can't see my spirit. But you know, I can't see God. And he is spirit. But I can see, because I said yes to Jesus, I can picture the man Jesus on that cross looking at my name. What has Jesus ever done to harm us? What is Jesus? When has he ever turned his back on us? Why is it that the tongue will praise the Lord, but the spirit? spirit is far from him. That's called religion, people. They're very religious. Well, I'm not. I know religion. I see it. I see the corruption in religion. You know where I can really look at it firsthand? In the Holy Bible. It happened to have been the religious people that put Jesus on the cross. The lie came from those Pharisees, Sadducees, all the religious groups. Do you know why? They said it. Is it not better for one man to perish than for the whole church to collapse? You know what? Let's put it in our terms. Kill Jesus, and then we will find that peace. Isn't it better that we kill Jesus than to let him go out here and touch each heart? Here was the problem. And a lot of Christians haven't looked at this part of it. It was that statement. Is it not better for one man to die? That came from the prophets. And the prophecy was that Jesus was a one man. They're quoting the prophets and have no insight, no wisdom from God to understand that God said before, yes, one will die. And here's Jesus' answer to them. You cannot take my life from me unless my Father gives you permission. Therefore, Pilate, you have no authority over me. But then he said this. And he's talking to the one who was turning him over for crucifixion. And he said, the one who handed me over to you has committed the greater sin. Judas Iscariot. The one that ended up hanging himself. Folks, there's one way. His name is Jesus. He gives us salvation. He took care of the law for us because we can't keep it. And I can't keep my salvation. Therefore, Jesus says, what I started in you, I'll finish. Whew, thank you, Lord, because I can't do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings and joy of salvation. Father, help us realize the truth is never pretty until the day we walk through your gates in your paradise. And Father, give us wisdom to understand that you are waiting to pour out your Spirit within us now, that we might see, though dimly through a glass, the blessings you have for us, and to feel that love and that relationship as a child of the King. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.